Hello and welcome to Developing Perspective. Developing Perspective is a podcast discussing news of note in iOS development, Apple, and the like. I'm your host, David Smith. I'm an independent iOS developer based in Herndon, Virginia. This is show number 74, and today is Tuesday, August 28th. Developing Perspective is never longer than 15 minutes, so let's get started. All right, so first, I just wanted to let you know why there was a gap in programming last week. I was sick for the latter half of last week, so that's why there was no second show. Sorry about that. Feeling much better. My voice is maybe a little different, but overall feeling good and back. This should be a normal week's schedule. So the main topic I'm going to talk about today is something that it's a question I've got a couple of times, but it's something that I think is a really interesting kind of nuanced question for a topic I talk about a lot. And this is rather than necessarily how do I learn iOS, it's what do I do if I'm a experienced developer in another language, for example. You know, so I know Java, I know .NET, or C Sharp, or any of the .NET languages. You know, I know Ruby on Rails, I know all that, something else, and I know it really well. You know, I'm a 10, 15, 20-year professional, I really know programming, and it's not that I need to learn how to do it, but what I really want to do is I really want to get into iOS, for example, or I want to get into Mac, or, you know, typically these kinds of things come up around iOS because that's sort of where the money is and where the focus is to a large degree. But sort of like, how do I make that transition? And then once I've made the easy part of that, which is once I've made the transition into acquiring the skills and knowing a little bit of what I'm doing, what do I do with the information? Like, how do I demonstrate competency? So that I could either get hired as a job or I could find clients, you know, to do consulting work. And certainly there's like the easy answer is like, well, you just kind of learn, and you learn by reading books, by building apps, by watching screencasts, by being involved generally online, going to GitHub, checking out, you know, other projects people have worked with. And I think that sort of works. I think that that's sort of like the things that you have to do to develop competency. At the end of the day, my general philosophy for anybody is you will only ever learn how to develop on a platform if you are developing for that platform. And so that may start off as you get a book and if you're learning, I always recommend books that are kind of more tutorial-based, where it's kind of like you sit down with a book and it's saying, you know, it's building a project up over a couple of chapters or those kinds of things. And you're in Xcode typing away, building something. That's what I always recommend because theoretical knowledge and information is only going to go so far. And more likely, it's just going to be really not helpful to kind of have this general vague understanding of kind of what it is you're trying to do without actually being able to put that in practice and work, you know, in Xcode to actually make that happen. So I always recommend tutorial-based things, but, you know, so you've learned. Now you're kind of hitting the second phase of this, assuming that you've been able to transfer this years of experience of programming, you've kind of learned the nuances of Objective-C, of Cocoa, of the platform, some of the tool set maybe, and then now you're like, okay, so now how do I demonstrate that competency? And that's an interesting question, kind of a tricky one. I think the first part of that is who are you trying to impress is probably a very important question to answer. You know, are you trying to get a job? Because if that's the case, it's probably easier than you'd think, in the sense that more often, my experience, when you're looking to be hired on a full-time basis with somebody, they're looking for someone who has a length of experience that matches roughly the needs of the organization. And they're probably okay with the fact that you weren't doing iPhone development 10 years ago, because iPhone development didn't exist 10 years ago. And so what they're looking for more is, you know, are you a competent developer with good discipline and practice and who knows what you're doing? And if you can demonstrate, hey, this is what I've been doing, you know, hey, here's an app I wrote, here's kind of, or being able to just talk to them and say, this is what I've been doing. If they're a manager, you know, or manager or development shop with any sort of foresight or insight, they'll totally understand that that's fine. That's all you really need. Because in my experience, if you're a good Java developer, you'll be a good any developer. There's very few, like, you know, these, like, programming languages aren't siloed, like, in a way that if you're a master at one, you'll struggle in another typically. I mean, there may be a few examples of where that would be the case. Maybe if you're pulling someone out of, you know, if you're like a deep low-level C programmer, you may not, all a lot of those skills may not necessarily transfer into work, you know, programming in Erlang. but generally speaking, most of the modern programming languages are very similar, and the constructs and the lessons you learn are fairly similar. And so things translate. And so if you're looking to be just hired as a programmer somewhere full-time, it's probably easier than you think, and it's just a question of making a lot of effort and having being able to tell a good story of how you've learned, what you've learned, and being demonstrating that you're excited and passionate. And hopefully, you know, if someone's looking to hire an iOS developer and you can say, hey, yeah, I've been doing it for, you know, 6 months. This is what I've been learning. You know, ideally you'll have something to show, whether that's apps on the store, or even if it's just, here's some apps on my phone, here's some apps on my iPad, you know, here's some things I've been working with, platforms I've played with, things I experiences I have. Things get a little trickier if you're trying to make a transition into iOS consulting without a huge sort of resume of experience. Because consulting, sort of by its nature, is you're coming in as an expert. And you're saying, I am an expert in this. And so because I'm an expert, you know, I'm worth $100 an hour. I'm worth $200 an hour. I'm worth $50 an hour. Like, whatever it is, you're saying, you're putting a value on yourself in a very tangible, kind of exchangeable way. And so it's much more difficult or important to make that transition. I think I would probably say, if you're trying to make that transition, you have to work even harder to make sure that you really have learned your stuff. I think you're probably going to have made a few apps yourself, put them out in the store, have a bit of a name for yourself. If you're trying to do that, I think I'd highly recommend working on some open source projects, either your own or contributing to others, having a bit of a presence on GitHub, that kind of a thing. You're trying to show that you're an expert. And in order to do that, you need to demonstrate a certain amount of reputation. And reputation is something you can't, it's totally intangible. It's not, you can't just be like, well, I'm going to do this, this, and this, and then I'm going to be an expert. But it's a lot of it's just time and being available and working on it and being invested in the platform and the community will allow you to do that. I'm actually going to talk a little bit later this week on the second show. My plan is to talk a little bit about some of the consulting aspects and about rates and those kinds of things. But I think what's interesting about the platform we work in, if there's a huge, as best I understand, there's a huge market for consultants, that there is a lot of people who are looking to have an app made, to looking to have an app maintained, to do work on these platforms that I talk about here, you know, iOS and Mac. And so the demand is there. And I think from the supply side, you can probably find something with just a few months of really invested work. If your goal is to try and develop yourself online, to be a part of the discussion, to be visible in the right places, like being on GitHub, writing, having a blog, having those kinds of things that you can point people to and say, hey, yeah, I'm a good developer, and here's why. And if you do that, I think it shouldn't be too hard to find work. And really, it's just going to be a question of you may not be able to find your dream client. You may not be able to find your the best rates potentially right off the bat, but I think you'll be able to find some work. Another thing you can also do, which is kind of an interesting middle ground between these, is there's a couple of iOS consulting shops that work, that sort of hire developers to do consulting. And this is also an area that I think I'd probably recommend looking into. I mean, you think of some of the big companies like SourceBits, Mutual Mobile, those kinds of companies that do large-scale consulting. Would be an interesting place if your ultimate goal is to be a consultant, would be an interesting place to try and find work, either as a contractor for them or as an employee there. It's an interesting opportunity to be exposed to that consulting experience and developing it up in a way that you could then at some point separate from them and work on your own. And they also, certainly you could work for, you know, those organizations are a little too large. There's also many, many smaller consulting shops. I mean, I think of other places like Martian Craft, Savvy Apps, Black Pixel. I mean, there are lots of these smaller consulting shops that have more focused things that are potentially easier to get, you know, to sell yourself to, rather than having to do the business development part of consulting as well. You're just selling them on your technical skills. You don't also have to sell them on your project management skills and on your design tastes and all the other parts that if you're doing an independent project, you'd have to work on. And so I think that's kind of the broad arc of kind of what I'd say to someone who says, hey, I'm an experienced developer. I'm trying to get into iOS. So the first step, just learn. You need to know the frameworks inside and out. You need to have built probably dozens of apps, not necessarily like finished apps that you ship, but you have to have done that first 80% of dozens of apps, trying different frameworks, like being just one thing that I sometimes do. It's like, okay, I want to, like I did this actually yesterday with an article I wrote about the Twitter stuff. It's like, I wonder how the Twitter integration works, you know, this TW request thing, and how does that work? It's like, so I just went and I wrote an app, you know, file a new project, open it up, and just kind of play with it. And a lot of these apps don't even have UIs. Like, they're just logging out console output. But it means that I've gone in and done sort of the deep dive on that technology stack, and I can say, yeah, I know how that works. You know, if someone needs me to use the Twitter integration, or now the Facebook integration, or the Weibo integration, and it came in Mountain Lion, like, the, you know, I can say, oh, yeah, I've done that. I know how that works. And I'm not just, like, sort of blowing smoke. I'm actually saying, like, no, I've done it. And I want to work on the address book framework. So that's, like, I wrote a thing that that hashed contacts and made a little open source library and put it on GitHub. Like, doing these little deep dives, I think, has helped me to be very broad in my knowledge. And so I can say that, yeah, I am pretty much an expert on anything non-graphics related on iOS. I've probably done. You know, it's just the nature of doing this for so long and having that kind of a mentality that I want to learn these little things. And it's important, I think, especially as I've had more success at some of my apps, that I don't get too pigeonholed in those technologies. Like, I'm very good at playing audio because I'd have an app that's whose focus is entirely audio-based. You know, I have an app on the iPad that's all about managing organizations. So I've got a lot of core data experience for, like, building a database, in my case, of recipes. But it's like, I'm pretty good at working out all the performance stuff with core data and things. But I've also done all these other side projects to make sure I know what I'm doing. So you need to learn that first. And then I think you just need to understand what your goal is. And I think it's also, and just if you, especially if you think about it as starting small, you know, if your ultimate goal would love to be, your dream is to be a consultant, maybe try and find yourself a job at a consulting shop, either full-time or as a contractor, doing consulting work. Because you're only going to get good at the things that you practice. So practice those things. And over time, you're just going to get there. I mean, these things, it's one of those things I don't think anybody could say, you're ever going to be able to turn this around overnight. You know, you can, but if you have a motivation, and ideally that motivation won't just be monetary. Because if your just goal is just to make money, you're probably better off, honestly, just sticking with the technology that you're working on and being sort of exploiting that to full extent. It's hard to make the transition and initially make the same amount of money that you would be making otherwise. Hopefully it's because you like the platform, that you like the technology, that you like the people in the community. I mean, there are a lot of good reasons to be an iOS developer, and I, you know, couldn't talk of that highly enough. I really enjoy it. But if you're doing that for the wrong reasons, or if you're doing that for just monetary reasons, it's going to be a really hard slog to get into it. Because you are competing against people who've been doing this for, I mean, it's not 10 years, it's 5 years. And so, but if you're doing it because of those good reasons, I think just staying at it and working on it will help up make that transition, you know, I think it's very doable. I think if so, it's like, if I wanted to spend a couple of hours or 20 hours a week or 30 hours a week or 10 hours a week or 5 hours a week on this for a couple of months, do I think I could, I could make the transition? I bet you probably could. All right, that's it for today's show. As always, if you have questions, comments, concerns, complaints, the best places to reach me is on Twitter. I'm _DavidSmith on Twitter. I'm on AppNet as just David Smith. The Twitter feed for this podcast is Dev Perspective, which just posts information about, you know, when new episodes come out. It's also, like, last week when I was sick, I posted a post there. So if you ever want to keep, if you really want to keep, sort of keep on the pulse of developing perspective, that's the place to go. Otherwise, hope you enjoy the show. And hope you have a good week. Happy coding. And I will talk to you on Thursday. Bye.